Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners. I'm Julia Monin, pastoral associate here at the Region, and you are listening in to Listening In, the podcast where I sit down with parishioners, priests, pastors, deacons, whoever I can get to join me to just chat about faith life and what's going on in a spiritual sense with us. So today I have a very, very, very special guest. You might recall him. He's been on the show before. I just called it a show. I don't really know if it's a show.
Wow.
But he's been on the show before. Yeah. I have with me Father Sean Wilson. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks for having me again. I'm surprised I got the invite to come back after being on the initial episode of your show.
Exactly.
If it's a show, does that mean you have sponsors?
Not yet.
Okay.
But maybe we can invite people who want to.
Yeah.
But no, I wanted Father Sean back for, well, one reason, Father. How many months has it been since you've been here with us?
Oh, it's been about 6.5 months.
Unbelievable,
right?
6.5 months.
Yeah, it is. I don't know where the time goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because on one hand, it feels like, you know, I just showed up. Like, I can remember moving in. I can remember meeting everybody. Mm-hmm. I can't remember names. But then on the other hand, it feels like, you know, oh, this is home. This is where I've been for a while. Mm-hmm. You get into a flow of how things go. So it's incredible how some days it feels like, oh, I'm just a new and I'm a novice and still messing up, which will be probably until my death. But then on other days it feels like, oh no, this has been forever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This is old news.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wild how that works.
Mm-hmm. So it's just crazy that it has been that long since you've been here, because I think that same way. In some ways I think you just moved in and you're still the new guy. In other ways, it just feels like you've been here for years and you just fit right in and have been such a blessing to all of us. So that was one of the reasons I invited Father Sean back, because it has been about 6 months and I just wanted to touch base with you a little bit. I didn't warn you I was going to ask you this, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, but I would like to know what this first 6 months in this position for you in this new vocation has been like. What maybe have been some of the most surprising things, and surprising in a good way, you know, some of the joys maybe you weren't expecting, or what has just been your experience so far in your first 6 months in this role?
Yeah, it's, so I met with my spiritual director on Monday night, and of course he asked me the same question, because it's a whole new life, and I was kind of talking about that with him, and just how you can never really prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the seminary, you can do the best so that you can study, so you have something to say on Sundays at the gospel or at the homily, and you can work on, you know, building friendships and just having those kind of interpersonal skills. But to really be a priest in the world is, you know, your own relationship with the Lord is all that's really going to carry you through. You can have every skill in the world, but to deal with everything that comes through, whether it's the joys of a new child and just realizing how incredible of a gift that is, or whether it's being there at so many funerals or accompanying people in so much pain, whether it's in the confessional or whether it's, you know, just life is tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely wild. Something I could never imagine, something I could never pray for, something I would never trade for the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's just the heart of Jesus trying to show his love to the world and me trying not to get in the way.
Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, isn't it? Staying out of his way.
Amen.
That's my biggest issue, is I am such a controller and such a planner, and it's really, really hard not to want to take control and do it the way I want to do it.
Right.
And if I know, but I know, if I step back, that it'll be even better because it'll be the Lord doing it and not me. But there's always that temptation to want to take over and do it my way.
That's interesting how that works, though, because there's a great line that St. Ignatius of Loyola had that said, pray as if everything depends on God. Work as if everything depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get that Mother Teresa book, which is just, I think it's just, she's just burning up our parishes right now.
Right.
She's just setting them ablaze.
Right.
But, you know, in her prayer, she became absolutely convinced of God's will, and then nothing would stop her from carrying it out. And I think about, you know, ourselves, that we're called to do the same thing. That, you know, in prayer we discern God, what His plan is, and that sort of thing. But then after that, you know, we just go about His business.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a challenge, huh?
Right. Right. Amen. Yeah. And Mother Teresa is such a good role model for us. And yeah, that book has been very inspiring to a lot of us. So that's great. Okay, well, this is the part I warned you about that I wanted to chat with you today.
Yeah.
I am kind of on this theme in my life right now, just really thinking about the Mass and thinking about what happens at Mass and the importance of the Mass and the beauty of the Mass. But I've been thinking about the Mass mostly in what makes it personal to me and what is my favorite prayer of the Mass. So we know that the entire Mass is a prayer, right, Father Sean? So we're used to perhaps the Our Father would be the prayer in the Mass, but the entire Mass is one continuous prayer that we're offering.
Right.
And I put in my bulletin article a few weeks ago about asking parishioners, what's your favorite part of the Mass? And in the February newsletter, I will share a reflection of what my favorite part is, but I asked for a response from people, and you gave me a beautiful one.
I did. Well, I don't know if it's beautiful. I gave you a response to my favorite prayer.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I thought about it, and then I was like, oh, I missed that one. Oh, I like that one, too.
Can it decide?
Yeah, and it's hard to pick just one.
It is hard.
So I'm actually going to renege on the one that I told you.
Okay. Oh, man,
and change my answer.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know if people know this, but there are private prayers that the priest says to himself. And you think about why that is, maybe, and maybe just because sometimes it feels like you're on stage at Mass and you forget what's happening for you as a priest because you're worried about, you know, you got all these announcements, it's somebody's anniversary, you know, are the servers here, you know, why the lector mispronounced something, you know, everything goes through your mind. But you have these private prayers to realize, okay, I'm in this too. So my favorite, and that I think, or one of my favorites, is kind of as the Lamb of God's going on, and right before doing the Behold the Lamb of God, the prayer is, it's a little long, it's Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who by the will of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, through your death, gave life to this world. Free me by this your most holy body and blood from all my sins and from every evil. Keep me always faithful to your commandments and never let me be parted from you.
Hmm.
And then you genuflect and you pick up the host, the chalice, and say, Behold the Lamb of God. And so that prayer is just, you know, every time I always find myself rushing as I'm saying it. And that's never good. But I'm worried if people, you know, they want me to move things along.
Yeah, we got an hour time limit.
Yeah, we got an hour time limit, you know. We got to go eat or something.
Right.
But the prayer, you know, with who's by his death gave life to this world, that line just gives me every time, because through his death, he gives life, that he gives freedom, that he restores everything, which is what the Mass is. You know, we enter into his death so that we can have life, so that we can be free from everything. And then there's like that, then it gets really personal. It says, free me by this your most holy body and blood from all my sins. And every time I say that, I'm just like, yeah, come on, do it. Just take them away, because they're darkness inside of me that I just would love for you to banish. And then keep me always faithful to your commandments. You know, that he asks us to give him everything. Keep me faithful. Because that's the struggle, is to keep the faith. You know, when you see, even as a priest, you see so much bad stuff and people with so much pain, and you ask so many questions, like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And just to always keep me faithful and never let me be parted from you. I never, ever, you know, I never want to be separated. That as long as we can stay close to that beating heart, you know, you think of John at the Last Supper, and he sets his heart upon Jesus' chest, and you can hear his heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, never let me be parted from you. So that prayer, and also it's selfish because it's kind of like my prayer. But, yeah, well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a private, that's a beautiful way to put it, because as a lay parishioner, certainly we don't understand what that's like to have to celebrate Mass and to be in that. So that's awesome. I bet there's a lot of people out there that don't even realize that there are so many private prayers that the priests are offering between what we are hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you changed your answer, which is just beautiful because it perfectly ties in to my favorite part of Mass, my favorite prayer of the Mass, which, of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, but my favorite part is, simply put, the priest genuflex takes the consecrated host, holding it slightly above the chalice of blood, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." That part of the Mass, every time it's prayed, stops me in my tracks. Because I can see, and you're holding the consecrated host, and you're holding the chalice, and it's "Behold the Lamb of God." Like, he's right here, my friends. He's here. He's right here.
"Behold."
Exactly. Like, oh my gosh. And then the final words then, "Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." It's so beautiful because I realize what a gift it is to be Catholic and to be called to the table of the Lord, to be able to receive him in his body and blood. And I think about all the people who aren't part of the Catholic Church, or people who have left the Catholic Church, or just people who don't understand what we have in the Holy Eucharist. And I think what a blessing it is to be called to his table, and what a blessing it is to understand what that means, which was a recent enlightenment for me because I'm a cradle Catholic, but certainly for the first 25 years of my life, I took it for granted what I was receiving and what I have in the church. But now I don't, and I understand what a gift it is to be able to receive our Lord in his body and his blood. And I just, those prayers just sweep me up. It, like you said, we're to just remain with him forever, where you can just sit by him. And that's what I just feel when you guys, when the priests are praying those words, I just feel the Lord like giving me a big hug.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I'm right here with you.
Behold.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
You know, you mentioned that about blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. And as you know, this week is the week, as we're recording this, the week is the prayer for Christian unity.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you think everybody's called to this supper of the Lord.
Right.
If the Eucharist is what we say it is, and this is the Mass is what we say it is, we want everybody there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, it should look like Christmas every week, just people knocking down the door to get them some of this goodness.
Right. And when you have an enlightenment that, like you have obviously had, like I've obviously had, where you know that is what the Catholic Church says it is, then it is. It's hard to think why wouldn't you want this? But we have to respect where God has people out on their journey as well, and respect where everybody is. But it is a blessing to be in that position where you can receive him. I received a response. I asked parishioners to email me their favorite prayers. So I found it interesting then that one of the responses I received from somebody was the words that immediately follow this, what I just said. So the priest genuflex takes the consecrated host, holding it slightly above the chalice of blood, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And then, of course, we respond. Do you know our response?
Actually, interesting. A lot of the responses, it says this is the response of the people, you know? But this one says the priest and the people say. How cool is that?
That is awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Lord,
I am not worthy to receive you.
That you should enter on
the earth. Thank you. That's the old translation.
Yeah.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof.
Yeah.
But only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. And that was what some parishioner then emailed, that was her favorite prayer, which is beautiful because we aren't worthy. And we aren't. We know that we're not worthy.
Right.
We're not to receive him. We're not worthy to even be in his presence, let alone to receive him the way that we receive him so intimately in Holy Communion. But we also know he only has to say the word.
Yeah, say the word.
And we'll be healed.
Right.
So it's just
and he
that.
He does the healing.
Right.
He's going to come inside of us, which and just transform us from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
which is, I think we all know what we need, you know? So that's a great year because it's a quote from scripture.
Right.
Where the, I think it's a centurion. So he's a Roman soldier who really, he's not even Jewish. And so he, him to receive the Jewish Messiah, he would have really been, just been absolutely flabbergasted that he says, no, I'm coming to your house.
Right.
And that's what he's, the Lord's saying to us. No, I'm coming in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might just want me in to kind of stay a little while, but I'm gonna tear out walls of your soul and build it nice and big, and you know, put a balcony over here. So.
Yeah, we dream. We think too little. I think we want things that are too little, and God just wants to give us so much more than what our little minds can fathom. So that from scripture, and this, I believe that where we read that from scripture is where the centurion approaches Jesus to heal his servant.
Yeah.
And so this is when he then tells Jesus, I'm a man of authority and I tell my servants do this and they do it.
Right.
And so Jesus is amazed by this man's faith that, well, one, he expects this man, this Jesus, to be able to heal him. But two, he knows that he could do it right now if he wanted to,
right,
and that he wouldn't even need to come into the home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worthy for you to even enter under my roof. But I believe in you so much that if you say it right now, that you can heal my servant or my son, whoever it was that was sick.
Yeah.
And I think of that image when I'm praying that prayer, when I'm praying that, because I have so much sin and so many imperfections, but I believe that if the Lord wills it, that he can heal me in that moment. And I just pray that if you will it, Lord, it can happen, and it can happen right now in an instant. And I believe that, you know, he answers that prayer before I receive him in communion. So isn't that interesting how you changed your answer on me? And I didn't know that you were going to say that, but then that perfectly led into, of course,
the three in a row.
Exactly. Amazing. My favorite prayer. And then the response I just received most recently from someone, which was yesterday. And that was her response. And that was her favorite prayer. So that, certainly right there, that part of the Mass that we are preparing to receive the Lord.
The invitation to communion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What an invitation it is. What other favorite parts of the Mass, favorite prayers? You got any?
nothing that compares to this in an intimate perspective, an intimate communion and sharing with my Lord besides actually receiving communion itself. But what about you?
Well, I was just thinking of some of the other private prayers. So there's one before the gospel that, you know, is either we bless the deacon, the priest does, or either you, as before we go up to get the big book of the Gospels, we pray, cleanse my heart and my lips, Almighty God, that I may worthily proclaim your word. And so, you know, that's another one. It's basically saying the same thing. Cleanse my heart so that it in my lips, that it may be your word and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then everybody stands for the gospel just because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you think about it, it's the word going out amongst its people and touching hearts and ravishing souls.
Mm-hmm.
Just awesome. Just trying to get out of the way.
What is there a private prayer that you pray just before receiving communion?
Yeah. May the body of Christ keep me safe for eternal life.
Mm.
And may the blood of Christ keep me safe for eternal life.
Mm.
Yeah, that's great. It's a touch of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you realize that this isn't just about the here and now, that this receiving communion is preparing me for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And protect me, keep me safe for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so I think that Father and Sean and I could probably sit here and talk about the Mass. We could probably just start at the beginning and just go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll have to do that. I don't think that we have time for it today, but perhaps if there seems to be that would be an interest, we could do that. We could just break down the whole Mass and talk about why it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But for now, we are out of time. We're already at our 20 minutes. So I invite everyone who's listening today, as we go through the month ahead, to really be intentional and engaged participants in the Mass this month in a way that perhaps you haven't done in the past. So really think about the prayers that we're praying and just be engaged, or try to be engaged And of course, we all get distracted. You mentioned that on the first podcast, that even as a priest, it's possible to get distracted during the Mass. I didn't mean to bring that up, but
yeah,
you said it. But anyway, of course, we have that. But just I invite all of us to just really dive in to the source and summit of our faith, the Mass, and to really think about that and to be engaged. And now I'll invite Father Sean to close us with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O most blessed Virgin Mary, who bore Jesus Christ in your womb, help us to bear Jesus in our hearts through the power of the most holy Eucharist in an ever more deeper and an ever more beautiful way. We ask that through your intercession, the Holy Eucharist may transform our lives and the lives of all of our parishioners, that falling more in love with this great gift, we may imitate you, O Virgin Mary, who did his will and proclaimed his praises to your entire life. We ask all of this through your intercession as we pray.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.